Okay, with that, then we'll go ahead and have the report out of closed session.
Yes, President, board, staff, and audience, the board did go into closed session at approximately 6 p.m. in regards to three categories under the government code. First, under government code section 54956.9B1, was conference with legal counsel regarding the bankruptcy. Second, the board went into closed session pursuant to government code section 54957 and discussed the item number one only. Item number two will be at the close of today's meeting. And they went into government code section 54956.8, conference with real property negotiator. They gave direction but took no reportable action.
Thank you. With that, then, we'll go to public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening, board. My name is Keith Weimer. I'm chair of the Water Committee of the local chapter of the Sierra Club and a member of the Sustainability Group, the Los Osos Sustainability Group. I wanted to congratulate LOCSD customers for continuing to be very water efficient, keeping average use to 54 gallons per person per day. I believe the entire community within the purveyor areas is about at that level, so we're one of the most water-wise communities in the state. While 54 gallons per person is very good, other communities are lower, and we can do better, taking a much bigger bite out of seawater intrusion. The more conservation we achieve, the sooner we reverse seawater intrusion and have a healthy, sustainable water source. Some people I know are down to well below 40 gallons per day, and that level is easily achievable with efficient indoor fixtures and appliances, efficient washers and hot water circulators, recirculators, as well as low water use landscaping and gray water and rainwater reuse systems. The LOSO Sustainability Group is putting out a challenge to the community, to target less than 40 gallons per person per day by targeting zero outdoor potable water use. This is possible by planting drought-tolerant landscaping and installing rainwater and gray water systems. The perfect time to do that is now because the Los Osos Wastewater Project conservation and septic system repurposing programs provide opportunities, some of which are not well known. The Sierra Club explains little known opportunities and repurposing options in this recent edition of the San Lucian. It'll be around at the library and so on, and I recommend that you pick it up. There's an article entitled Los Osos Don't Tank Your Septic Tanks. Here's one little known fact. You can get $450 in rebates to replace an inefficient washer from the Los Osos Wastewater Program and another $100 or so from PG&E and the gas company for a total of about $550 towards replacement of an inefficient washer. You'd only have to spend a few hundred more to have a brand new efficient washer. Here's a fact we discovered some people are not aware of regarding repurposing. From the bids we received, the least expensive option for decommissioning the septic tank is what we call clean and close, having to take clean, disinfected, and closed back up so you can repurpose it in the future. You should do this at a minimum because the county is considering rebates for turning the system into a rainwater reuse system, and they are considering providing recycled water use for use in the system so that you can water your yard for the entire year using your repurposed septic system. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith.
The Los Osos Community Service District was created in 1999 based on the premise of local control. When formed, the board enacted latent powers, including providing the services of sewer, half the community's water, drainage, fire, garbage, lighting, parks, and rec. During the district's tumultuous 15-year history, it resulted in peeling away many of its services. The best thing the district has done was in 2004 when it turned over fire management duties to the qualified folks at CAL FIRE. We saved millions of dollars on that. Fire service, gone. 2007, Blakesley legislation led to the county take over the sewer. Sewer service, gone. The district's subsequent bankruptcy resulted in the sale of its garbage franchise. Garbage service, gone. Due to lack of funding in the streetlights in Cabrillo Estates, they were turned off. Lighting in that neighborhood is being done through private agreements with PG&E. Lighting service, gone. The district never had the funding for parks and recs. An early effort to provide a community garden failed due to the endangered snail, compounded by the gift of government funds providing the garden water at no cost, roadblocks. Parks and recreation, gone. The handful of drainage facilities went even fewer when a dispute with the sewer contractors revealed to the misrepresented CSD that some of the facilities that he had been maintaining for a decade were actually under county control. Drainage facilities, gone. Let's face it, the LOCSD is a water district. It serves 2,700 districts. It just adopted a 50% rate increase over the next 4 years that was going to yield $5 million to the implementation of the basin plan. Instead, the revenues are not going to keep up with the expenses, and the basic management committee will be managing the water. So even your water power is gone. But yet your board just continues on spending my money. They want to move to a new location with no funds and no need to move. This boondoggle will help fuel the effort to eliminate this district. So with only water left for the time being, let's all focus, including all the repair dollars, and it shall be done on infrastructure improvements. This CSD pays $400,000 for management and administrative services per year to the likes of Sites and Wallace with no bid contracts. And the LOCSD just hired a GM without investing in his credentials. I spent an hour with two of your board members up there in Don Pedro. Okay? Why do you think you're here? Didn't these directors force a lying GM on us this time and now another? Elimination is the only solution, and I'm Tom Salmon, and as bad as I hate to, I'm going to run for a seat on this board, and as a board member, I will do everything I can to eliminate this waste and fraud that's here in front of you, sitting down. I've been in lengthy discussion with legal counsel. It will be simple and clean, and the community will forget this nightmare.
Hi again, Lindy. Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I wanted to first talk about last night. I went to the Water Forum. That's how Israel has found ways to be the most water conserving country on the planet, I think next to Australia. But it was a really interesting talk, but it reminded me that we in Los Osos have opportunities that are going to be too late to implement if we don't get moving, because we're in a transition from our tanks, our septic tanks, and our leach fields going into a full-on collection system, 42 miles of underground pipes. Number one, the septic tanks need to be preserved, cleaned out, and turned into water cisterns. This drought, even if it goes away, our groundwater is not coming back for centuries, so none of us have time to sit around and watch that happen. Therefore, we need to be doing everything we can to not use that drinking supply, and we're currently flushing toilets, washing cars. It's very disturbing to not see that we're going to move ahead and take one-third of what we use on our outdoor landscaping could be brought through a trucking system from the treated effluent that runs through three main lines through town. And it's a matter of putting our brains to it and a little bit of money, possibly $1 million. But if you could spend $1 million to save from one quarter to one third of your aquifer every single day, do you think it's worth it? We're looking at $35 million to get some Diablo desal water, you know, delivered over to Avila and those connections. We have options right now, but we're not going to have options in a year when this whole connection is over. So I'm urging you and anybody that's on the water basin management team to start looking at this. The other option that we have that nobody seems to really get, but as long as I have liquid going out my septic tank into a leach field, I would assist the movement of the solids through this whole 42 miles that may not go so well because of the high conservation we're looking at, I would be putting 1,000 septic tanks onto that septic or into those lines to help wash it out. The alternative is that we take the water we just spent all the money to treat, we put it in trucks, we hire two men, and they spend their entire week coming around flushing the sewer. This happens in all sewer systems. We have an option, but if we sit and twiddle our thumbs and look the other way, nothing is going to happen. And I am really concerned that that's going to happen. I've seen time go by where we just kind of forget to do anything about it. So I urge everybody in this room to start thinking about something easy, something cheap. Thanks.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to speak to items that are not on the agenda that should be. When President Ohilski took the chairmanship back, he said he was going to put an item that answered the previous month's questions on each agenda. This is our fourth agenda, Marshall, and it's not here again. And when you became president and promised that you would do that, a young woman was here asking a question that I still have not heard the answer to, and that had to do with the redaction of public records with regard to some payroll data that was requested using the Public Record Act. In particular, it was Kathy Kivley payroll and Mr. Doyle's payroll. If those redactions were all the data that I had been provided in September when I did my analysis of Ms. Kivley's payroll, we would not have found that she was embezzling from this district. If those redactions continue in those kinds of requests or analyses, we will not be able to see if that practice continues. So I'd like that question answered. Why over-redact what is public information? These are public servants. Their payroll is public record. What's also not on this agenda are committee minutes. A side issue is that committee meetings were canceled this month. We worked very hard and argued very strongly when Ms. Kivley was here that the quarterly committee meetings were insufficient. And she's gone. Your board set the tone with the adoption of the bylaws that we would have monthly meetings. And already, with Mr. Campa here, two committee meetings were canceled. Those committees are valuable to you, and you are missing out on their recommendations tonight. Of the committees that did meet, you don't have minutes to reflect on as part of this packet. And so again, you are without the recommendations of those committees. And one of the committee recommendations, I mentioned it in the comments at closed session, was that the Finance Advisory Committee asked for an analysis with regard to Mr. Seitz's legal invoices. The other recommendation that they also made, and if you'll allow me, President Ohilski, it had to do with the decline in revenues and the continuing increase in expenses, and how long does this district have when there's not enough money? Is it 1 year? Is it two? What is it going to take?
Any further public comment?
Charmaine Henderson in Los Osos. I'm here today. I've been trying to do some research understanding what these levels of severity are for our community, for the water. And my understanding is that we're at level three. And I wanted to know what were the requirements for level four, if level four exists. I heard today that there wasn't a level four. But then I heard last week that there is a level four, but we're not there. So are there requirements, and when will we meet them? Because it seems to me if level four restricts building, then we won't be adding more water users to our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, I can answer a couple of the questions. Actually, two questions are going to be answered with the one answer here. The reason that the Utility Advisory and Financial Advisory Committee meetings were canceled was because we're setting up a joint meeting to talk about the exact issue that you raised, which is the water severity levels and the water rate structure. So we will be having that meeting. I believe it's going to be... Right now, tentatively April 25th, so we will be having that joint meeting with the Utility Advisory and Financial Advisory to discuss that issue. So that, I think, answers your question and Julie's question about why the meetings were canceled. Is there any other questions you want to have answered? Nope. Okay, seeing none, we'll go to administrative and committee reports. Fire department report, please.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. Tom McEwen, the battalion chief of the North Coast Battalion, and here to present the fire department report for February 2016. In February 2016, Station 15 responded to 92 incidents. We had three incidents that we had were simultaneous incidents. One of the simultaneous calls did require advanced life support. Of the 92 incidents, 59 of them were medical aids, and 36 of those medical aids were paramedic level service. We had one call that required staging. We had five incidents reported as traffic collisions and seven incidents reported as fires. And we had 16 public service assists. Company 15 was used 12 times to cover the station behind when both engines were committed. And kind of pretty much a normal month for us, except for one significant structure fire, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Working? Okay. Administratively, we lost one more of our reserves, who's been here with just a little over a year, who's going to work for Cal Fire in San Diego. And we're still in the process of hiring, it looks like, four, possibly five new reserves. We've had to expand our area of accepting applications from. We're kind of running out of people in the local area. And since we use our reserves specifically to work shifts, we feel it's probably beneficial to us to expand that area, since they're not necessarily responding directly to fires. They're actually coming into the station and working a work shift. So we have five people who are currently going through the application process, and hopefully we'll be able to get some good candidates out of that. Two of them I know for sure are already academy trained and can go to work right away. And the other three, we're probably going to be doing some in-house training. It's going to be next year before there's another reserve academy put on. So we're going to try to get them some in-house training, and hopefully we'll get them all up and running here in the next couple of months. The rest of it's pretty much normal stuff, just administrative stuff. One of the things that's going on for us is we just got our regional fleet inspectors came through. They took a look at all the engines. They're all in pretty good shape. We do have a couple of issues going on with Medic Rescue 15, specifically to the Ford motor issue. There seems to be a problem with that particular vehicle, and we're probably going to be bringing that up as an agenda item maybe next month. We'll have to talk to you guys a little bit about that engine. It's once again at the repairs shop for a total of about $5,000 worth of repairs. And we're going to probably start another hiring program, as we're going to lose a considerable number of our reserves to Cal Fire again this summer. The one thing that occurred in February that was pretty significant in this area was the structure fire on Woodland Drive. That was an arson fire that involved the Sheriff's Department having to come in and secure the scene before we were allowed to suppress the fire. And just want to say that that went very well fire suppression wise, although we weren't able to make as quick of an attack as we would like to because of the situation there. We were able to still do a pretty decent job on and keeping the fire from spreading. Also, just found out that last week our investigators were able to find that subject who started that fire over in the Fresno area, and they went over there, and he's currently in jail and waiting arraignment for charges on arson. So with that, that's pretty much the presentation. Is there any questions I can ask or answer for you?
Yeah, Vice President Stone, go ahead.
I don't know if this has come up in EAC, so if it has, stop me. I don't want to repeat it. But are other fire districts seeing the issue with retaining reserves? It's kind of a common problem. It's getting worse, is what I understand.
It is getting worse. My best friend is actually the chief of a volunteer fire department over in the valley. He's suffering from the exact same problems. The issues that we're seeing is we have two types of people that come to the fire department to be a volunteer, if you will. We have people that are community service minded. This is how they pay back the community, is by being a volunteer fireman. And then we have the group of young men who are trying to get experience to get their certifications to move into careers with the fire department. What we're seeing is a loss of those those steady folks that are just there because they want to be a volunteer fireman and they want to help the community. We're, in a way, it's kind of our fault because the state has put a lot of training requirements on them. There's a lot now. They can't just be a volunteer fireman. They have to be a volunteer fireman and an EMT and CPR and hazmat, and there's just not enough time in their days. So we're seeing a reduction in that core group of people, and so we're seeing the shift to all the young folks, and we'll get them 6 months, 1 year, and then they're gone into their careers. That's kind of what we're suffering from.
And what have other districts, other areas done to address this? Just keep running through. I mean, it's not totally a bad thing if they're getting hired and moving up because they have some potential. But what are the kinds of things that have been done to address this elsewhere?
It's the problem is it's really hard to get your hands on. There's kind of a generational thing in there also, and I haven't heard anybody having a lot of results. I know that where I used to work in Fresno, they're having retention problems with their county PCFs. Like I said, my friend Rick, who's the chief of the volunteer fire department, they're down to where they can only typically send one engine on a call, and they used to be able to send like four. There's no good thing to put our it's just that's people are so much busier now. I'm not aware of anybody that's having any success in retaining volunteers in the way we manage volunteers here on the West Coast. If you go back to the East Coast, where the volunteer fire companies have been there for hundreds of years, and they're, if you will, they're almost like the the Lions Club. They're a huge social organization. They're not having quite as much problem, but still, even back there, they're having problems maintaining their qualifications. So I don't have any good answers for you for that. It's just something we're going to have to keep working through.
All right, thank you.
I'd like to just want to make sure my microphone's on, but I have managed a couple of different community services districts with fire departments, and it has become an issue with the changes in the regulations primarily and the level of effort, because in the past you basically showed up, you did training with your friends, and you learned how to be on the fire engine, and you responded to fires and you put out fires, and then over time the laws changed and made it much more difficult, and that you had to basically be trained as if you were a professional paid firefighter to some degree, and that made such a time commitment for people that had lives outside of the fire department, and to do that volunteering became really, really difficult. And what I'm seeing is there are some departments that are well funded, and what they do is they have a very strong culture within the community that makes it very attractive for the young firefighters to go through the program, and some of these are volunteer and some have a paid reserve. But it starts with being able to have the staffing that's there and fixed and full time, and the good training program, and just really a lot of outreach. And there are still people getting into the service. It's hard when it's so much work at so little pay.
Yeah, it's just we're almost becoming a revolving door for the training of new firefighters, and that's pretty much universal across the state with the volunteer departments. So I wish we could get a way to keep some of the more core group, the community-oriented, the community service guys. Those are the people that would stay volunteer firemen for 20, 25 years. But they're all, like me, they're all getting into their 50s, and they're kind of getting a little tired of all of it.
Okay, thank you. With that, then, we'll move to utility report.
We had to give Margaret a break. Margaret's on vacation, so I will be covering her report. As you can see in the report, we still are producing less water than we have in the past. That's a trend that's continued for the last 4 years. And so the projections that we did when we put the rates in place, the new rate schedule, basically the reason for increasing your rates is to cover increasing expenses to be able to make sure that you have enough revenue to do your business. But when you look at this report, you can see that the revenue is going down rather than up. The base rate is covering a lot of the cost, but when it comes to consumption of water, that is so far down that our revenue has really taken a hit. That doesn't mean that we should be just selling water and looking to drain the aquifer, but by all means, I am certainly proud of the per capita consumption. That is something that is really a lot of effort to get people to that level. And to be able to maintain that really will stretch our water supply a long way. And as you know, we had the problems with well number there at Third Street Well, and that is we've submitted a notice to the state. It's called a notice of intent, and that is we basically have to make improvements to put that online, and that would be several hundred thousand dollars worth of improvements to be able to treat for the chromium. Or the better option right now is for us to get get the new well drilled that's in the budget. We're doing the evaluation now. We have plans and specifications almost completed and ready to go out to bid on that. That's a budgeted item to develop that. I believe it's the 8th Street well. And see how that works first. Get the well in, the test pump, and see if that water is going to be able to meet the standard. If it does, then it's going to be less expensive long-term to get that in place and piped up, because to spend $300,000 or more on going through the process of permitting and constructing a treatment plant for our wonderful well is kind of a high expense right now, plus the operating cost every year. A lot more power, a lot more manpower. So anyway, those are the big things. It's not all doom and gloom. Our people are doing really well. We've got a good, healthy crew and getting a lot done. If there's any questions on the report, feel free to ask me. And if I don't have an answer, I'll get back with you.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the Interim General Manager's report.
Okay, on your table and in the back, we have a supplement to this report. I want to let you know that in the audience, my company's hired a new administrative director, and that's Shalise Drake, right there in the middle. She's a Los Osos resident, so she's going to be helping me out and really helping out with my efforts under my contract and under my direction to be able to get more bang for the buck out of what you get from me without burdening our current staff. But I wanted to let you know that we've got a lot of really good things going on. I summarized everything in my report, talked about the current office location, and we beat that one up this evening. Just basically that we've got a situation with that office that is creating some unhealthy circumstances, and we're trying to resolve that. As far as the transparency certification, we have some items on the agenda this evening. I don't need to get into more detail on that one. I want to let you know the groundwater basin modifications were submitted to the state, and in my supplement report number 4, a 30-day comment period has started on that. Not a big deal, but we supported that boundary amendment, and now it's before the state for that period that ends April 29th. I went into detail about the 14-15 fiscal year audit, that the delays in the audit. Normally you would be seeing your audit in around October to November of the following fiscal year after the year closes. This year we're very late, and it is caused by a number of internal issues related to balancing accounts and completing a completing an actuarial valuation that is for compliance with the GASB, the Government Accounting Standards Board's regulations. So anyway, those all had to be done last minute. I've commissioned all of those, and those are going forward. The dilemma is, as quickly as we can get that audit out, we expect by the first week of May to have what we consider final numbers, and then we'll have the report prepared as quickly as possible by the auditor after that point. We could have it as early as the third week of May, or even the second week of May if they're really pushing it. But there's a lot of work. I want you to know there's a lot of work associated with that. The financial reports as well, we're not seeing those in here because we refuse to give you data that's not grounded in fact. And we've confirmed that we've got some account cleanup work to do. And so when you see those again, and I estimate that that could be as early as May, they will be absolutely accurate, and you can stand on that. I'll just tell you, there's a lot of information in this report, so for the sake of time, it's a written report. It comes out in advance. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me. I do want to get to this supplement. There are some pieces of legislation. One of them is SB 1170 from Senator Wachowski, restricting a public agency's ability to have their contractor prepare a stormwater pollution prevention plan. That affects us, because contractors are the ones who know best how to control runoff. Anyway, we've got a well project coming up. We've got other things where we're going to have to develop these, and this legislation restricts that to where we have to have it prepared by an architect or an engineer, which increases our cost again. Going down the list, one thing that I want to let you know that I did is, for the first time in my career, I took the oath of office after extensive legal work to determine, to get two opinions that it wasn't absolutely necessary. I did it anyway just to make sure that there was no reason why not. I uphold the Constitution, and I support the United States of America. I believe strongly in that. Couple of pieces of government code changes that you can expect, or reports that you can expect in compliance with government code changes in reporting. Those are on this report as well. And anybody can ask me questions anytime about this stuff. Lastly, we have worked with the county to put together a right of entry agreement. It's just an internal agreement for them to take control of the wastewater system at Vista de Oro during the period of time that they're making the connection to our system. They basically have to go through the tanks that we have there. So they've got to pump around it, then they've got to backfill it and crunch it and dig it and run the pipe through the middle of it, about a four-day process. I know that's a lot of information in a three-and-a-half-minute period of time, but...
Any questions?
I do. I have a brief question about... I guess it's page 4 on your report in our packet. Costs associated with remedies to the district financial statements. There's a little table there, and yeah. You talk about hiring the CPA firm Warmerdam and then also Dale Flynn. It looks like we're hiring Warmerdam, I guess, for two different sets of tasks. You mentioned first that it's going to cost $10,000 through the end of the fiscal year to have this emergency contract, and I guess that's all audit-related work.
It's audit-related, but it's also picking up and doing the accounts payable properly and also doing payroll work.
Well, and that's, I guess, gets to my question. The last paragraph of that section talks about, in addition, Mr. Ventura estimates cost of services to perform job functions of the accountant, including these other items, as you know, $4,000 a month, $3,000 to $4,000.
I can clarify. That's not in addition to this amount.
Okay,
that is,
that's...
it is, they're doing this work. This will be the maximum that they would bill by the end of the fiscal year, including that, but their estimate, that estimate is ongoing. In other words, if they were to do the work that was previously assigned to our accountant, that work could be done for this $4,000 to $5,000 at the most, where we were paying quite a bit more for a staff accountant. That's all it was just for a comparison of contracted versus in-house expenses.
Okay, so that last little paragraph, those costs would be included in the work we're getting from them right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was, I meant to state there that on an ongoing basis after this time, if we were to choose to go that way, we can expect to get prices in that range.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, seeing no further questions, legal counsel report.
Yes, tonight I thought it would be good just to respond to one of the questions asked by the audience. The district is presently under the county ordinance in severity level 3, which is the worst level of severity. There is no LOS 4. In terms of the district's drought response plan, and I thought that was actually posted on the district's website, but okay, so if you review that, we are in level three, stage 3, and with going towards stage 4 possibly. But I think that's going to be dependent upon the spring well index when we get that report in. And there was also a timing issue that was in the original plan that basically delayed the decision to get to this level until this year. So anyways, that should be coming up in the springtime when we are in the springtime, but in the next couple months when we're dealing with those reports when they come out. So anyways, that ends my report.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, LOCAC, Vicki sends her apologies, so Steve will go right to you.
President Ohilski, members of the board, members of the public, I'm Steve Vinson, the president of the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Just have a couple of things for you tonight. We've got the 2016 Business Expo coming up on Earth Day. I'm sorry, not Earth. Yeah, Earth Day, April 22nd from 5:30 to 7:30. It's going to be right here in the South Bay Community Center. The theme of this year is a world of opportunity, and it reflects the many opportunities to start, grow, and do business in our world, which Los Osos Baywood Park. The Business Expo offers opportunities for local businesses to network with potential customers in the community and fellow business owners while showcasing products and services. It's open to the public, and admission is free. If you want to participate, an exhibitor's booth is $35 for chamber members, $45 for non-chamber members. Then on June 24th, also right here in the South Bay Community Center, is the Los Osos Festival of Flavor, or the old food showcase. It's from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The chamber invites residents of Los Osos, Baywood Park, and beyond to savor tasty food and beverages provided by an amazing group of local restaurants at the Festival of Flavor. Many of our local favorites will be on hand: Nardoni's, Kuma Sushi, Sylvester's, Sweet Alexis Bakery, Baywood Ale House, Beach Hut Deli, La Palapa, Nichols Pizza, and others. Tickets are limited, and they are $20 a piece. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Steve. No questions. Thank you. Okay, will you go to the Emergency Service Advisory Committee report?
Yes. We met the third Tuesday this month, and I apologize for not having minutes from that meeting here. I will work with Harmony to get those included in our board packet in the future. The item that we talked about a little bit earlier, the retention of reserves, that was a big issue that we've talked about there, and it relates to the desire to go to the level 4 staffing that we've talked about for a long time. And that's one of the things that we're going to drill into this year. if we resolve the issue about the property tax allocation that goes to water, might go to fire, some other things. First, we've got to figure out how to deal with Schedule A and increases, but that funding, the staffing level is a critical item that we're going to be looking at. But until we get a little clearer financial picture, it's kind of hard to set priorities and look at directions for the year, other than making sure that we have our vehicles repaired and on the road. The next meeting will be on the 19th, 5:30 at the fire department. Any questions?
Nope. All right, Parks and Rec, please.
Parks and Rec had its first meeting this month. We had a wide-ranging discussion about lots of ideas for a public forum. We're going to still be pinning down the details on that, but we did recommend that we go forward with that, and there's an item on the consent agenda about doing that. And in the next meeting, we're going to work with staff to come up with a proposal for the board about exactly how we want to carry that out. Any questions if you have them?
Questions? Nope. Okay, before we go to off of our in-house committee reports, we do have two applicants. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd like to report on the Resources Advisory Committee.
Oh, hold on. Wait. Hold. I got it. So we do have two applicants for openings on our two committees. We have Julie Tacker applying for the Parks and Rec opening, and we have Sherry Grimm applying for financial advisory. So unless there's any objections, we'll go ahead and make those appointments. Okay, so with that, then I'll turn it over to you, Lou, for your rec.
Okay. We had a meeting yesterday of the Water Resources Advisory Committee. Two items I think are very relevant to us. One is how the state is being asked to organize itself, basically regions within the state, to be able to pull together viable proposals and do good work under Proposition 1.
I think you're right, it's not on.
There we go. That's a little bit better. I can repeat that, but maybe I won't. Anyhow, it's the Water Resources Advisory Committee. One item that was occupied about an hour and a half of our time is how Proposition 1, which is a statewide program in which entities, regions, are being asked to sort of organize themselves to write proposals to meet the demands of the funding program. So it's organized by regions. There is a Central Coast region of which we are a part, and there are six entities involved in that. And each of these constitute a regional water management group. So it goes from Santa Cruz to Santa Barbara in the San Luis Obispo area. There's 23 organizations being asked to sort of plan together. This includes our CSD, six other CSDs, six cities, the county, and various disparate others. This was a long discussion about how we're trying to pull this together for the scarce grant monies and make it work. The attendees thought this was great work and approved to go forward with it. Count me as skeptical. And a little different thing, probably the best program and the best activity of the meeting was us in the form of Marshall Mladen Bandoff from the county and Rob Miller, our district engineer. Their presentation was on the evolution and now early implementation of the Los Osos Basin Plan, the roles of the many organizations and individuals involved, the key elements of the PLAG, recent adjudication, and current work of the Basin Management Committee. That presentation was widely and enthusiastically received, and it's just how you do this stuff. You do real good at your focused activities, or can you try to pull together 25 entities and sort of write proposals that make sense? So,
thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll get the Basin Management Committee. And this will be in the future, once we start getting substantive conversations at the Basin Management Committee, a separate item. But then, since we're still just in the organizational stages, I think now, starting this month, Chuck, we'll probably be starting to get into more substantive items at this point. But anyways, to give an update, the budget for the committee was approved. We got all of the entities in the organization to approve their budget. We were the last entity. We did only approve a budget through the end of June, because even though our Basin Management Committee is on a annual, we're on fiscal, so we're going to have to address that in the future. But we do have funding available through the end of our fiscal year. So that was the one. We have two grant proposals that we were looking at, too. One is for, consultant selections that we're looking for. One was for grant funding. There were three consultants that were made the initial cut. And then for the proposals for grant assistance for the Basin Management Committee, Water Systems Consulting was selected. They'll be brought to a back at a future meeting. Right now we're in the process of negotiating the fees and the scope with them. But for final approval, we'll be bringing that back. We also did have a proposal offer consultants look at the zone of benefit analysis and the to review the financing options for the Basin Management Committee. We are still out for proposal on that. Well, not anymore. We were out for proposal at our last meeting, so that's something that will be coming back to the committee at a future date to identify. We also found out that there is guidelines and online requirements for entering groundwater basin data, which was due April 1st, which is a change in the law this year. So we did make the deadline as far as providing our basin management information into the Department of Water Resources. Last two items was an item we talked about before, which was the Los Osos Creek discharge, using that as an option for groundwater recharge. We had a little further discussion about that as far as if there's a well within 100 feet of the discharge area, that we had to talk about with the landowner as far as permission, et cetera, to access those. So my understanding is that they are discussing it with the two possible landowners that this may impact, and moving forward with that. And last but not least is we talked about whether or not we wanted to participate in the regional water management, the earworm planning process or not. There was advantages and disadvantages to the Basin Management Committee being involved, and whether we needed to be a JPA to be eligible for certain grants, or whether we could be eligible under our current structure. We're having our legal consultants look into what our options are there, so that will be coming back to us at a future date. So that's really what we talked about at last meeting. I think it's moving along pretty well. I think we're going to start getting into substantive things. We did have a good discussion from the public about the repurposing of the existing septic tank systems, and I know our last item on the agenda talks a little bit about that relative to the fire station. So, and I think that came up in public comment today, but I think it's a really, really important thing for people to understand the value of repurposing their existing septic systems. It's not, won't work for everybody. I mean, there's some constraints in some places where it's not viable, but I think for the vast majority of people it is a viable option, and it's something I know that everybody supports in its concept. So anyways, any questions on that?
I have one.
Yes.
On the creek discharge, is there any sort of working timeline yet set up, or is it too early in the process?
It's too early in the process.
Yeah, but rough idea when they're going to start.
Well, we're hopeful to have a report back from Rob at our next meeting.
Okay.
So at that time, we'll have a better idea of what the schedule is. The one other thing that was on there was, and Peter already brought it up, but was the adjustment to the 117 groundwater basin thing, which has been submitted to the state. So anyway. All right. With that, then, we'll go to outside meetings. Anybody?
Well, I had one. Actually, two.
Had two. One that I was at.
That's right. the 16th, I attended the County Fire Safe Council board meeting, and this ties in with our fire mitigation fund, and we just got word that for the entire county, as far as hazardous fuel reduction money, they did get a grant through our SRA money. That's that state responsibility area fee that some of us have to pay, which we don't like to pay. But the entire county is going to be $99,000. So with Cambria being in such distress as far as their trees up there, we were told that between the dead and the dying, that's 70% of the trees in Cambria are in that situation. The ones that are distressed, possibly coming back, but it's pretty serious up there. And so I would imagine that most of the money is going to get directed up to them. So, again, we're going to have to rely on ourselves, and I know that's part of what the chief was working on with IGM here as far as identifying the projects and the cost of and being able to use that money. And then the other one is I went to the CSDA meeting along with President Hilsky and Peter, and I was on the 18th, and we got a presentation on the projected property tax, which was fairly favorable. I believe it was roughly, 5% increase. And also had a presentation. The county is very serious under what they call the Energy Watch, and there's a program for energy management for CSDs, which we're going to be getting on also. So that concludes my report.
Thank you. I don't have to report on that because you did that for me. No, and actually I thought that the presentation by the county tax collector was very, very encouraging as to what the increase in the property tax revenues was projected to be this year. With that then.
Marshall, briefly, I wanted to follow up on your comments on the Basin Management Committee. If I remember correctly, we're talking about conservation repurposing, I think, maybe for this next meeting. And I've been thinking about ways that we can help the county with that message, because it's pretty clear that it got off to a confusing start. Lots of different contractors, not really sure about options and what to do with the sand at the bottom of the tank and all that. I think everything's been resolved. Everybody's on board with acknowledging that the cheapest thing to do is probably just to disinfect and close up your tank, preserve it for future options if you don't want to repurpose, but let that valuable resource stay underground intact. How do we help get that message out there? There's a couple ways that I thought of. Sierra Club did write a really nice long article about repurposing, and I'm going to leave copies here in the community center at the information table. I thought maybe the CSD office would be a good place for that. Also, Channel 20. I talked with Wade Horton, County Public Works Director, yesterday about maybe getting some kind of a information sheet, little one-page, because we run things continually outside of our meeting times on water conservation, just a little one-page thing that could be up there for a while on repurposing septics. That might be a good thing to do. I also still would like to follow up with Nancy Castle at AGP and see if we can get private funding for the videoing of the Basin Management Committee meetings. Would we be okay with putting them on our channel? No cost to us, no cost to the county. I still would like to know what the objections are if there's no cost. So those are some of the things that I've just thought about, ways that we could help, because this repurposing thing has to happen now. It can't wait until later. People have already decommissioned tanks. There's dialogue with the county and know about retroactive rebates for those people. Maybe they didn't get the rebate for their repurposing. Can they have a hot water recirculator in the house? Those discussions are still going on. But if it's okay, I think I'd like to work with the county about getting some kind of message on Channel 20 about repurposing. Just a one-page something, and then work with AGP about the cost of videoing. If fellow board members, does everybody think those are good ideas?
Well, I think that I think if you could work with Peter on the Channel 20. So,
okay.
The Basin Management Committee decided they didn't want to be broadcast. There's nothing I can do about that.
Well, frankly, they didn't want to pay for it. It's not. If it's not costing them, it's our channel. I don't know what the concern is. We're talking about transparency here, being a model of transparency.
Well, I didn't, let me, I mean, the issue is that the public needs to talk to the various board members individually. We are a Brown Act committee, so I can't, or you can't, you know what I'm saying? So if the public would like to go down that route, then I think since it is a Brown Act committee, that the public needs to contact the board members and express their opinions to them.
We'll be there.
I got a thought. The county has, you know how much the county has in the conservation fund left over?
I think it's immediately 2.4 million, and then there's another 1.2 in reserve to be spent out of rates and charges later on.
I don't see why a mailing to the customers would be a good use of that money.
That's something we mentioned to Wade yesterday, a postcard, because the last flyer talked about groundwater recharge, but not use as an irrigation cistern. You know, they were talking about just directing downspouts into the system to overflow and recharge groundwater. And, you know, honestly, if you have a big enough lot, you're probably already doing that without collecting it into your septic tank. The key thing that will save water is to repurpose it for a rainwater cistern. And it's pretty easy. You can just drop a little portable pump in there.
But I think it's also important for people to realize you don't have to do both those things at this time.
That's right. Yeah. You can clean it, close it up, and wait until later when you've got
money.
Maybe a little extra cash.
Well, plus you have to go with the permits, too. I know they're going to do permits on that.
Not if you just close it up, and to use it, you drop in a little sump pump that you remove once you've emptied it out. If you have a permanent pump installation,
right. You
will need electrical panel, permits, all that kind of thing.
And if they're concerned about costs and stuff, I mean, we have phases as far as people signing or coming online, tie the mailings into that. I think the mailings, I think, are going to be beneficial because it's going to get everybody.
Right. Yeah. We pushed hard for a postcard yesterday.
Maybe more than once, too.
Well, like you said, the critical component is time, because there's people connecting as we speak. Well, not as we speak, but tomorrow. I hope not. They're not connecting.
I don't want to be paying overtime for that.
No, I think that's a critical thing. And I think, just to follow up on that thought, Chuck, I think that there also needs to be some better communication to the contractors, too, not just the public, because the contractors are who the public are going to for advice. So
that seems to be the county's, you know, favorite response. My fear with that is if a homeowner isn't aware of what the options are, they can be led pretty easily by a contractor who has a certain perspective on how things should happen.
Well, thank you for that. So we'll go ahead and move to public comment on the committee. Oh, pardon me. Is there anything on the consent agenda that anybody wants to pull?
I don't understand, Jay. It talks about recommend discussion and course of action. I thought consent calendar
we can't
items
do that.
We didn't really have.
Yeah, I thought we'd have to pull.
We can't do that subconsciously.
I think that should be pulled.
Or continue.
I just don't know how you have a discussion on a consent calendar item without it being involved.
It was initially something a little bit more definitive. Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. For discussion, it should be pulled.
I would like to move to continue it to the next meeting.
Well, okay. It's just that puts us on a time crunch on the contract.
That was the reason that it was brought up so early on is because we haven't had a discussion about it. This is the second meeting, and I need to make some plans for the future, and you need to make some plans for the future. And so at least an initial discussion is why it was on the agenda. If it could get extended to the next month, it just...
I think it has to without a staff report to give us the options.
I mean,
if we need to go to a special meeting, we do, but I think that I would support continuing that.
And special meeting would be fine if we want to think it's that important, but I would like to continue.
Why don't we just pull that, continue it, and then obviously we'll take public comment because we have to, but let's just continue that to subsequent date. If we do need to schedule a special, we'll go down that road. Okay, anything else? All right, now we'll go to public comment on items within the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. And I have to apologize, but my wife just had surgery, and she's calling me, so I need to step away for a few minutes. Nothing personal, Keith, okay?
Actually, some of these remarks are going to be directed to you.
Would you mind? Wait, this just takes me a couple minutes. Do you want to let somebody else go
Sure.
First?
Why don't you just take a break, Michael? Because all of our comments are...
She had the surgery on Monday, but now she has a cell phone, so it kind of... I know.
You guys ready to go back live here?
Oh, we're live. Again, I apologize, but my wife just had knee surgery today, Monday.
Yeah.
She got transferred to the transitional facility today, so I just wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Well, I'm glad to hear she's doing better.
Thank you.
My name is Keith Weimer, Sierra Club member and Los Osos Sustainability Group member. The next two Basin Management Committee meetings are going to be very, very important ones. We will get an idea of how serious the Basin Management Committee is about conservation and even saving the basin from these two meetings. For the Sierra Club and the Los Osos Sustainability Group, they will be tests of whether the basin plan will work, whether the groups can support funding, and they will be tests of the leadership of Basin Management Committee members, including our chairperson here. The committee will be deciding whether to use Los Osos Wastewater Project Conservation funding to provide rebates for repurposing and other outdoor measures, and what the Basin Plan Conservation Program will look like. Given the urgency of the seawater intrusion problem, our groups will be looking for very strong programs implemented very quickly with measures such as strong media outreach programs and substantial rebates for a variety of indoor and outdoor measures. And when I say quickly, we're looking for the programs to take shape and rebates to be available by May, by the decision made in May. We encourage viewers to contact Supervisor Gibson, Chairman Ohilski, your own water purveyor representatives on that board, and tell them that you want to see some of the conservation money from the wastewater project used for rebates for repurposing and other outdoor measures. Supervisor Gibson said at the last Basin Management Committee he is not opposed to using some of that money for these for outdoor measures, including repurposing, if there is an amendment to the wastewater project permit. A few weeks ago, members of the Sierra Club spoke with the Coast Commission staff, and they said they will support the amendment and even expedite it when the county requests it. But the county hasn't requested it yet, but the Public Works Director said he intends to submit that request within the next 2 weeks. So we encourage the public and the Los Osos CSD, you folks, to tell the county to request it, to insist, in fact. We also feel sure the commission will want to see a very strong indoor-outdoor plan from the county and purveyors to support that amendment. Therefore, and once again, the next Basin Management Committees are going to be extremely important to the future of the basin and the community. And it is a very good reason, by the way, to have videotaped those meetings so that the public can see and participate to the extent they can in those meetings. So we would again encourage that that happens. But we do invite the public to appear at those meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith.
Lindy Owen. I think I'll start with the administrative and committee reports. The legal counsel report. I understand that we're already at stage four. We just haven't signed up for it. We haven't admitted it, so I wanted to just throw that out. And that was related to weather conditions. If we did not get enough rain, then we were obviously going to be drier and needing more water from our aquifer. Again, I wanted to say that the 8th Street well is pretty much going to be building in a delivery station for upper aquifer water to service trucks that can tank water to our septic tanks if we save them. So what I wanted to bring up that's part of this whole repurposing our septic tanks is if you do have to clean them and disinfect them, first I understand that they're sprayed, hosed down really, I forgot what that's called, but they are scrubbed out with a water hose. Then they are filled with a full tank full of water and chlorine, and they can either be left like that and shut down, or they can be emptied for future purpose repurposing. The question is, what water are we using? So I want to suggest that the 10th Street well, Napomo and 10th Street, or excuse me, Napomo and South Bay Boulevard has upper aquifer water available, and then the water, any upper aquifer water that is available is not potable water, and it should be used to fill these tanks to do this preliminary work until we have recycled water to do the continuing filling of future tanks. So it's something that I don't think we've thought about, but if we're using drinking supply to clean out septic tanks, that just gets into the final absurdity of wasting what little water we have left. The chromium is still a concern. I don't think we've had a clear report whether there is any idea where that came from. I'd kind of like to know. There's a possibility it's coming from the dump that's across the way that leaches into the creek, which leaches into our basin. This idea of item 11J, which was consideration of options relating to hiring or contracting a general manager, I believe we already have something in place. So when we have that discussion, I'm kind of curious how we got, how we've managed to be in business for 15, 16 years hiring general managers if we don't have a policy already. So I'm curious about that. This number, the idea of the, I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm going to go in no particular order. In 2002, I think it was, Rob Miller did a video of how to install a lateral. Be curious if we could dust that off and if it would be useful. That's today. Right. I don't know if you remember. It happened to be the 10th Street building that Ms. Kively wanted you guys to move to, just ironically. Marshall, your comment at the end of public comment regarding the joint FAC and UAC meeting to cancel the other work that those committees do, to bring recommendations to your board tonight on decisions you're making tonight, cannot be rectified by a joint meeting some weeks from now. So that doesn't answer the question of why we cancel meetings. That should have been in addition to. I find the interim general manager's report very disturbing. In particular, page 4, where the bullets and the reason for hiring these consultants, these financial experts, that we need to remedy delinquent notices received from the Employment Development Department, the Internal Revenue Services, and Social Security Administration, because the payroll reports were either not being filed or were filed incorrectly for the last couple of years. We may be facing late fees and or penalties charged by the IRS for these things. That's outrageous. All those months, Ms. Kively assured you she was following government accounting principles. Clearly, she was not. And these charges to rectify the situation should be backbilled to that woman. I'm pissed. And I hope you are too. Emergency Services Committee, one recommendation, Chuck, that didn't come out from your report was improving the minutes, expanding the minutes to include the comments from the public. Parks and Recreation Committee meeting I attended briefly. I missed the end of it, and the resulting staff report in your consent calendar is to give some money for a town hall meeting. I think you actually need more money because it needs to be AGP videoed and presented on Channel 21. My last point I will make is on the scheduling of a strategic plan workshop. I think that's premature. I think you want to get a permanent general manager on board so that you go into those goals together.
Thank you.
And you can't go there unless you have your financial status. And you don't know what that is, Marshall.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. Can I have a motion to receive and file administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda with the exception of consent agenda item J?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Wright, seconded by Storm. Can we have a vote, please?
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then, we'll move on to general action items. The first general action item is item A, adopt resolution approving policies relating to the selection, hiring, setting performance standards for the and evaluation of the district legal counsel and district engineer. So, Peter?
I'm not used to the microphone yet. These policies are being proposed to your board to allow for public discussion of these policies before you adopt them, and they set forth a process that you will use that leaves it somewhat open on how you'll select these consultants. You've called them employees, contractors. In reality, they're consulting firms, consulting engineers, consulting general counsel who provide you certain information and certain professional expertise that you need as a board. And so what I did is I went throughout the state and called quite a few managers that I know and have worked with for many years to see what processes people had in place and what successes they've had, and found a couple of really good examples and put this together as a process that I think that's going to be very useful for the board and very helpful to your consultants to make sure that you get the work that you're looking for, yet it's not overly burdensome as far as requirements or process. So they are presented for your review and approval.
Yeah, and do you have any questions? Before we go to questions from the board here, I think when Peter came on board, this was one of the things that we talked about, is trying to identify places where there were policies or procedures missing that we needed to add and supplement. Plus, our policies and procedures are somewhat dated, to say the least. So. Yeah, I was trying to understate it, but so anyways, that was the reason that these are coming forward. There'll be additional policy and procedures changes as we move forward, but this was just something that came up. So if you have any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to public comment on 12A.
Julie Tacker, and I'm only confused in that we're talking about hiring practices. How do we amend contracts with people we already have? Or my hope would be that similarly to what we do, or what now is the law, with an auditor, that at the end of 5 years, you go out for request for proposal or qualifications to get new blood. And if keeping the same consultant makes sense at the end of that five-year time period, then, you know, it's like the cream floating to the top. If they still are the cream, they'll be there, and they'll get the job again. But 5 years, I think, is a healthy limitation to set for yourselves. This district has struggled so much that, you know, we relied on the same consultants, and we keep doing things poorly. So that's what I would hope would come out of this.
Thank you. Lindy?
Lindy Owen, this is to set up a new method to update the hiring process for general manager in the future?
No, this is for district legal counsel and engineer.
Excuse me, I meant district counsel and district engineer. Looking down on the some of the lines, the accuracy, I think I wanted to comment on the way that we set up the review of potential applicants for the process. And what I've watched over the years is that an ad hoc committee gets put together with two members of the board, but it's the secrecy of the whole process, and then the failure to do serious background checks. So I assume that this is going to be discussed a little bit more by you, but those are two issues that I think need to be strengthened in the way that I've watched the process. I have a very uncomfortable feeling that people are brought in and the ad hoc committee is set up so that it all works together, so that the person that is brought in is the person who is hired, because the other three board members don't necessarily get a chance to know more about them. And then the failure to do background checks, Ms. Kively was an obvious red flag that there was a problem with the hiring of her, and a few others in the past. So anyway, I hope that you make sure that that's as strong as you could make it, because we need to know the ethical side of some of the people we choose and some of the people that are chosen to choose them. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring back to the board for discussion.
I'm kind of intrigued by that idea of a periodic review. That way you ensure that it happens without waiting for a confrontational period or when something's going wrong. You know, you're just regularly scheduling that kind of thing, and I think that idea has merit.
Can I respond to that briefly? The contract that you have with me requires an annual review in June. The last two Junes, it was decided by the presidents of the boards during those periods of time not to do it, and that was somewhat over my objection, because I do rely upon annual comment and interaction with the board. If I'm doing things that you don't approve of, I need to be told that. And so, anyways, I just wanted to respond in that way to you, Chuck.
Also, this policy, as it's written, requires an annual review of the performance. It doesn't necessarily mean that you go through the effort of putting it out and seeking proposals again, because the intent with the legal counsel and with the engineer is for their professional expertise, specifically with the issues related to your district. The auditor is a little bit different in the reason that the legislature adopted that limit, and that was such a heavily debated issue. It's because when an auditor comes in and looks at your books, and if they develop a relationship with the board and the staff, and that goes on a long period of time, there was found that there were opportunities for friendly collusion in a way. And so that is something where you want a fresh look because you want you don't want anything to go unnoticed. And with legal counsel and an engineer, sometimes it's really expensive to get them up to speed and everything if things are working out well. So it's the review process that's important, to do it every year.
Well, you know, when I first got appointed to the board, I asked for a book of all of the policies that we had, and Ann tried really hard to get that for me. But aside from a few that we've updated over the years, these aren't in a library or codified in any readily accessible way, so we don't even aren't even really sure what they're. I mean, Ann went through like all the minutes back to the beginning of the district to try to find those for me, and because I wanted to come on knowing what I was doing. And I think it's important to keep a distinction, at least I try to keep a distinction. You know, the budgeting we do every year, and it would be, in my opinion, it'd be undemocratic to do the budgeting more often than you have an election for the board. But the policies, the board can always review them on the one hand. But on the other hand, it's not nice to have to always reinvent the wheel. So it's a nice gift to our successors later on to have done some of the work and, you know, put some of the mental bandwidth into thinking these things out. So I'm supportive of adopting policies like this on as many things as we can, think them through, and, you know, if future boards want to change them, that's for them, but at least they'll be there and hopefully be there in a codified way so that everybody can get familiar and comfortable with the processes that we want to have. So I support these policies.
Well, I just want to add, I support them also, and I think, to your point, Chuck, in regards to the five-year period or whatever is decided, that can be put into the actual contract, you know, that this contract expires no later than or whatever, which I would rather, I think, support, because that's what currently right now we're like, there is no end to the contracts. And so I think it's valuable to have that in there, and so that's where that should go. But these, I agree with John Eric on this, is that to try to find these before is impossible. It's just, you know, it's like, where are they? You know, and I've been pushing for the personnel policy to be updated too, because we have a lot of items in there that are no longer applicable in today's environment and things that need to be updated, grossly updated. So I support this.
One of the things that strikes me about what's written here is I think the metrics are kind of loosey-goosey. There's no way you can, and how much did they meet this particular expectation? And, you know, when you actually do an annual review of somebody in other settings, you basically write a review. And maybe two or three people write a review. And it's much more operational. You can actually compare things from year to year. So everything in here are things you want to look at, but I think how you look at them in terms of metrics and examples and suggestions and so on, this doesn't cover it, really. It's okay as far as it goes.
Well, I agree with everybody, quite frankly. I think that it is a starting point, but we don't have anything in place right now, so I think that's what we're trying to do, is get at least something in the books. And I did agree with Chuck's comment about the five-year term, but then I also agreed the way Mike put it, so I think that's a better way to handle it, but I wanted to get your take on that,
Chuck. No, I think that's an appropriate way to do that, so long as you have some kind of periodic review schedule. You know, we know this is, and annual reviews are important too. I you don't want to wait till the end of the contract to start right. The feedback loop. That's not the way to get good service. But I just think that it's kind of a nice thing just to say, hey, at this period we're going to reevaluate.
Right.
Not based on anything that we're unhappy or seeing. It's just the contract.
I mean, the three of us, I think, are in consensus on that. So I think that we could adopt these procedures, but then when we actually got to the negotiation of the contract, we would include that in the contract negotiations. That's the way I'd like to go with that. So, any other discussion or we could have a motion.
I move that the board adopt resolution 2016-12 approving policies for the selection, hiring, setting performance standards for, and evaluation of the district legal counsel and district engineer.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a vote, please, since it is...
Vice President Storm.
Yes.
Director Sesania.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Director Wright.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then, I apologize, but I'm going to step away for a few more minutes, but we're not going to take a break at this point because I think this is a relatively straightforward bookkeeping item. So I'm going to turn it over to Vice President Storm for item B.
Mr. Campa?
You know, one of the things that I believe that a general manager is charged with is coming in and taking a look at your processes and determining what processes are bogging you down and where you're running into a lot of time and expense internally, because in many cases government can just create enough work for itself to do to just spin on its ear all day long and not turn out a work product. And one of the things that the California Government Code requires and was very strongly said in the revise of the Community Services District law in 2006 was that the Board of Directors is hired and is there to set policy for the district. And that's, I appreciate the policy discussion we had. It's something we always preach. But then also that the general manager is delegated the responsibility of the day-to-day management of the affairs of the district. And so what happens is many times when we carry forward policies that have been adopted 16 years ago, you find that managers are starting to basically make up their own rules related to a policy and making it fit the current operation, but yet abiding by certain pieces of it, and the policy basically is just not functional anymore. In this case, for the most part, we've been following this policy, but it's created so much paperwork and so many processes that people have to go through that we're making purchases over and over again for the same thing every month and not being able to take advantage of discounts for purchasing in larger quantities. We're not able to be flexible on which vendor gives the best deal because we have to buy things in small pieces. When something comes up, I've got to review an expenditure that's been reviewed by two other eyes, and then it has to go all the way to my signature when I'm not somebody that is going to be the person right there using it and is evaluating the process. It takes a lot of my eyes to look at these things. I look at them at the end to make sure, you know, that everything is consistent with policy. My direction up front is to detail out the policy. But what happens in between is really taking a lot of time right now. And so the primary changes here are that it does allow the general manager expenditures within the budget. I apologize if any of these changes didn't come through very well, and I also wouldn't have had the formatting changes on the right-hand column because it really makes the type small. But the track changes is what's important. Anything that's in red, underlined, is added. Anything that's crossed out is taken out. So this allows the expenditures within the adopted budget. Gives me the flexibility within the dollar limitations that are contained in the voucher approval chart. And the voucher is the document that creates the writing of the check. This is where all of the signatures come together and all of the approvals and everything is attached to it, and that's when the check is written, is by that. And so there's changes throughout this. And so I think you can see the highlights, and I just would love to entertain any questions about it. It's primarily streamlining, but it also increases the ability for me to spend within the budget.
Any questions from the board before I go to public comment? Okay. We'll open public comment. 3 minutes each on expenditure policy.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I totally get why you want to do this. And I can't tell you how many times I saw Bruce Buell get quotes or get jobs done at $4,999 because he only had $5,000 spending authority. Where I have the heartburn is that I don't know Mr. Campa. You don't know Mr. Campa. If you wanted to adopt the policy the way he's presented it, I get that. But perhaps until we get to know Mr. Campa, maybe the bar's a little lower or he reports a little more thoroughly in that we're at 15,000 or some other number. But it's not, no offense, I sincerely do not mean to offend you, but it's, you're new here, and we don't know what you're going to do for the district. And it's just, that's the only little heartache I have over it. I get it. I wish that that 16-year-old policy had a CPI in it so that every year a certain percentage it went up so that we wouldn't have this huge jump. But and I've seen districts still that are at 5,000 and they do whatever it takes to get it to the board, and that's okay. It's all the other stuff that hasn't been done. This is a minor thing. You haven't had good financials, you couldn't have kept track of these anyway. So that's my only heartburn.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen, I have to concur with Julie Tacker's comments. I think that we saw some expenditures with our last GM for some advertising that, I don't know if it was approved, but I think that considering that the process for most CSDs is within the 5,000 range, that most purchases would understand that and allow the time that it takes to run it through to get approval from the board. So I'd feel more comfortable having it have a separate route, and I hate to see things come up out of the blue that require a 10-minute decision to do. If they haven't, we need more discussion on this board level at the finance and in public about upcoming emergencies and things that we need. So I feel kind of comfortable with maybe at a certain month goal time, maybe loosening that up a little bit, but I don't know. I think 25 is quite a bit of money to give that much freedom to right off the bat. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the board. Don't everybody go at once. I'm new at this.
I think that the experience Mr. Campa brings to us probably means these are good changes. We've acknowledged policies haven't been touched around here in a long time. You couldn't even find them, apparently. So I guess I'm comfortable with it.
I'm going to make a radical suggestion that ultimately the responsibility for this is on the board. And so if we have to, ideally we live in a world where we don't micromanage the staff, and I acknowledge the heartburn comments. I understand where that's coming from. It seems like since I got appointed to the board, we've been in a constant cycle of distress over the finances. But what this, we still have, and we still have added internal controls. We countersign the checks.
And ultimately, it comes down to trust and us making a good decision about who we hire. And so it's got to be on us. And so I support this. I think it's a decent change. And it'll be on us to follow it up with support.
Well, I agree with that. I think also, I try to think back, I think we had at least three, if not four, things that occurred in the previous couple of years that had to be delayed because the GM did not have the authority to spend it and had to come to the board. Yeah. And I think that this is more realistic in today's economy as far as the values of things and the cost of things. And I think that I agree with John Eric that it is ultimately up to the board to review these things and make sure that and ask questions if we don't agree with it. So I do support it also.
Yeah, I think these are reasonable additions that seem to make sense. We're not going to finish this now. We have other things to contend with, but I'm in favor of the changes here thus far.
And I'd like to point out, too, that the large expenditures that the general manager is allowed to authorize on his own, are, except in the case of, actually all of them I think are budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
Just to make it clear, we're not kind of, not that there's no authorization. Passing a budget is in effect an authorization of a kind. So with that, entertain a motion.
Okay, I move that the board adopt resolution 2016-13 approving amendments to the district's expenditure control guidelines.
Moved by Wright. Do we have a second?
A second.
Tornotsky, any discussion? Vote, please.
Yes. Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Tornotsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. So then we'll move on to item 12C, which is a discussion regarding the district, community wastewater fund held by the San Luis Obispo County Community Foundation. Peter?
Yeah, on your table in definition or part of the description of this agenda item on 12C, I thought it would be helpful to have in front of you this letter from the Morro Bay National Estuary Program that was related to this donation, and also the communication that I've had with the staff person at the foundation that is responsible for this fund. They recognize that it's highly likely that the intent of the district is to move the funds to work in conjunction with the money that the county has and through the program that the county has to assist low-income residents in the community. It's not specific to connections to the new sewer. It was intended because some people might have trouble with paying the bill, but in reality, that still has not been decided all the way exactly what the future programs would look like. But the plan is within a very short period of time is to get together with the donors and with the foundation and the county and have a conversation about these funds and come up with a specific plan on how they would be allocated. But at this time, it's an item that came up for discussion with the board, and I'm looking for, I think my copy was a little bit backwards. Anyway, the fund balance is $141,771, and it is. Wait a minute now.
No, that's not.
I'm reading it. I'm looking at the staff document,
yeah.
And I think I'm reading in the middle. Is there a page missing? in that?
No.
Yeah.
You show the...
You're looking at
the exhibit. Yeah, the staff report shows $169,081.
Yep. 12C1.
First paragraph under discussion.
Let's go to the first page.
Well, the other
second paragraph.
Yeah, see, I'm...
Okay. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, but that's, this is the memo...
No.
Yeah, I'm getting too much audience participation in my thoughts here.
Okay, if you go to the Kivley one, which is the first,
right.
That had a balance of $173,994. It's been updated to the $169,000. That's the correct balance.
Right. I think what I'm going to recommend, too, is when we have these long agenda packets, I think we're going to get numbers at the bottom of them, just because it makes it really easy for me to know exactly what page we're on, and we can call it out.
I think the reason, yes, I agree, but the reason that we know is because we, Mike and I, have been dealing with this extensively for the past 6 months.
I have a way to make it not cumbersome for staff to make it happen, you know, because these packets do come together at the last minute, unfortunately. So the plan is then to have a little bit of board discussion about if there's any direction specifically related to this. And knowing that we will be going forward with the discussion with the foundation and the donors, and the expectation is that it will likely go through the county's program to fund low-income connections to the sewer system.
Okay. Marshall alluded to us working with this. My understanding through the foundation that this is supposed to have been ready to go in May of this year. In coordination with the hookups. And so it sounds like there's no date certain on this now?
Well, maybe if I could. The county does have the low assistance program in place right now. This would just be to supplement the funds
true,
that they have
true.
Available. So
right, but
there is the funds available right now for low.
Right. That the foundation, though, did state that they wanted it to be ready to go
correct.
By May.
Correct.
And so I don't understand what the... delay is. I mean, it's not like we have any control over how to spend the money. We're just holding the money because that's how it was set up.
No, I think the question is, obviously this is something we've spent a lot of time on, but the question is, do we want to set up our own disbursement procedure through the district, which would have obviously an administrative allocation, or do we want to go ahead and cooperate with the county in providing the funds through the county's program? So that's, I think, really the crux of the matter that we need to give direction on, whether we want to try to disperse this on our own or if we want to work with the county to use them for the disbursement. Whatever monies weren't dispersed during the connection period would be still available for other supplemental purposes for the disadvantaged people in our community. So I think that's all we're asking for now, though. If
I'm I just, my brain just rebooted.
Thank you.
And I'm really sorry. The conversation, now that I actually know where I am on the page, it was... initially, the agenda item was to have a more robust discussion
right.
about how it was going to play out.
Right.
They want to have this discussion in the next few weeks and come to some recommendations on this. So, because right now, we would be taking a position or recommending something that may not fit with some ideas that they have and everything else. So it's basically just... raising this issue that we're likely going to have this on the agenda for the next meeting. There will be some action between now and then, and everybody should be on the same page at a recommendation anyway.
Right, as far as giving direction, that's where I think that's the point. And I'm not trying to preempt anybody, but that's my thought process has always been, since I've been involved in this, is that we would cooperate with the foundation and with the county as setting up the disbursement procedure rather than setting up our own separate process.
Right.
So, yeah.
No. I assume that as long as we pull the county in, it's going to take longer.
Because we have no process in place. They
well,
do.
Well, I think we could start tomorrow and have it in place in 2 weeks, and they could mess around with it for 2 or 3 months, and people are already assigned to group 1, 2, or 3.
Well, the county's already dispersing.
That's going to create situations where somebody's in the process of paying a bill, and then they come up with some criteria of how to spend money.
Oh, the county already has that in place.
They have all the rules.
Yes.
Okay. I'll take that back then.
They are taking applications. This would add to the end of that or help supplement.
Right.
This would just add more money to the pot that they have available at this point.
Okay.
That's the purpose of the discussion, so we can give Peter direction as to how we want to go ahead. I mean, the worst possible scenario to me is this money isn't spent.
Right.
In some ways, you could argue that this is assets that should have been turned over to the county when they took the project.
Yeah, well, there are some people that do make that argument.
Yes. And I can't believe I thought I was going to have a discussion with Lou about the efficiency of the county and me being more willing to join in with the county. That doesn't normally happen that way.
So do we have any more questions? Otherwise, I'm going to go to public comment. Okay, can we have public comment on this item, please?
Julie Tacker again, and I think it wasn't turned over at the time. I wasn't on the board when the assets were turned over, but I believed Maria Kelly and Chuck Sassenia had a little ad hoc committee that were working on what to do with this money. My question now is, goes to the Kivley memo of November 24th, 2014, and the amount then was $173,994.83, but now the amount is $169,081. There's a $5,000 difference. Where'd that go?
Administration fees and fine. Lack of interest.
We'll wait till we're done.
Yeah, it's the foundation management.
So it was a foundation overhead.
Okay, so, and maybe that should have been included. There's nothing wrong with this packet. I think Ms. Kudart put the packet together just fine, but maybe that would have been an addition or some mention of it, that's why the amount is less. Clearly, if... At one time, the district thought it could continue to solicit donations, thought it could have its own program, and really help the disadvantaged. The donations stopped in 2005 or 6, and even if we had started a program, the efficiencies are lost when you have to administer it. So I don't know what the county program is and what pot of money they're working from. They are taking applications for low-income assistance, but there's no pot of money. There's no pot of money. They may help people get low-interest loans from USDA or some other place, but there's no pot of money. So until that pot is developed, and maybe this is the seed money, I don't know, but I think clearly they are in a position to administer. This district is having enough trouble just doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Thank you. Lindy?
I think it makes sense to move it on to the county and add it to their funds. And I think just a reminder is that the assistance funding and grants that are coming forward are not only for the hookup to the sewer, which is a loan process in many cases. It's also the monthly charges to the sewer. So one way or another, low-income people will have access. One thing I do feel... is that the county has not advertised that there is enough there are people that don't understand the process, and again, that would be nice to add to the postcard if we ever get some better information from the county to the public here. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll close and bring it back for discussion. So again, we're trying to give direction to staff who will be discussing this with the, both the community foundation and with the county.
I think most of us will agree trying to get the most bang for the buck and help the most people. And I have an issue with the way some of the criteria were set up on the county's program, but doing it on our own is not going to get more bang for the buck, even if we come up with better criteria, I don't think. The numbers I was hearing relating to administering it on our own, even leaving aside all the other arguments about whether we have the capacity for that right now, I think the thing to do is to streamline it with the county in a way that people don't have to go to different places, and so that's where I come down on this.
I don't disagree. I think that's probably the most prudent way. I think that, one, just the setup time for us to try to even attempt to do this is just crazy. So I think the county does have a plan. I think that it is best to go with the county. And I know that as far as advertising, I know for low-income people, that was when I went to the open house at the junior high a few months back, with the county, that was probably the most popular table was the low-income table. And they were taking names and phone numbers and addresses. So, but I think as far as direction, I would suggest that we do fold it in with the county program, and that'll be that.
I'm just going to go ahead and say my understanding, and it could be wrong, I'm not going to act like I mastered this, but when I was studying it, it seemed like, and there could be a million reasons for this, I don't know, I've never developed a financial aid program before, but it seems like even if you have a huge amount of equity in your house, the criteria is based on your income. Yes. So you could be a low-income person and have $1 million house with no mortgage on it and still qualify for this. And that's what bugs me, but I understand, we can't go and appraise everybody's house. I'm just putting that out there for if it comes up, that's a concern I have, but I don't think that justifies doing it on our own because it would just be so inefficient.
That's been I don't want to say the one problematic issue, but that's been the issue that's been raised by the Basin Management Committee. We raised that issue, and it's been raised by a number of residents of the community. And the example you give is perfect. Somebody has $1 million house, but they're on Social Security, so their income shows up as minimal, but yet they have assets that way exceed, their income level. So, but that's something, like you said, it's just you can do the best you can do.
Well, I would imagine the county's going to have like a matrix, with people that are on Social Security only, no other income being the highest priority versus somebody that is, married. And
the thing is, this is going to be people who own homes, right? Because who else would be applying? We're talking about maybe people who have low cash flow, large balance sheet. And so it's tough, and I just reiterate, getting this kind of thing perfect can be the enemy of the good. But
yeah.
That was my concern.
Well, but people also, and I'm going way too far now, but people could have moved here 50 years or 40 years ago, bought a house, and then the equities increased because of the valuation increase, but they haven't increased their income levels at all. So, there's arguments to be made both sides in that. So I think, we just want to have the program as accessible to many people as possible, as quickly as possible and as fair as possible, and I think that's the direction I would suggest that we give Peter.
I agree with that.
That's harder than you think.
I'm not saying it's. I'm just saying that's the direction I think we should give him. So, does anybody object to that as a direction? Okay. Is that it?
Yeah, that's
okay. Good. Okay, perfect. The last one then, we'll go to item 12D. Which has to do with the repurposing that's been coming up quite important and often. It's approval of Station 15, South Bay Graywater System Installation Project. involving the repurposing of the existing septic tank as a gray water holding reserve to support installation of potential community gardens and a drought-tolerant demonstration garden. So, Peter?
Pretty exciting stuff to end an agenda with, I'd say.
That's why we put it last.
Yeah, you know, and actually getting the fire chief and fire department to buy in on this, because in many cases, you know, they think about, gosh, this is what in the world, this is going to have people on our property and have maintenance and all that kind of stuff. However, this was really, they see the need, they've heard it. They understand that there are opportunities for others to get involved. This is down the road. You know, when you get to the point of actually getting the money, getting the outside money to do the planting and preparation and all that, and they're excited in participating in that. This action tonight is basically just to give me direction. First off, there was nothing in the budget authorized for the expenditure to connect the sewer, so I want to proceed with that as quickly as we can, get someone on board to do it, get the bids, and get the right contractor on there, and then also to just, instead of pulling the permit to have the tank abandoned and filled full of whatever, to actually have it prepared and ready to go for future phases of the project if and when we get funding for it. So it's really just at this point just looking for the action to allocate the money, and knowing that the plan is to do the gray water capture. We can get with one downspout on one side of that the building closest to the septic tank, in 2 inches of rain we can fill that tank. So I mean that you know, I wish we had five of them on site. And there's, you know, ongoing, if for some reason something like this costs us money and isn't producing a benefit, it's not that what we did is wasting any money, because it's actually a little bit less expensive in the engineering estimate to cap it off and leave it ready to go than it is to do the abandonment on site. Probably going to be about the same as it would be in reality, but to bring the equipment in and do the backfill and everything of the existing tank can be a little bit more expensive. Understand that these numbers, I want to make it very clear, these numbers in here are prevailing wage, public contract stuff. It will be so much less for individuals in this community to do this. I don't want anybody to be discouraged by the cost of our work. We're a different entity. We've got to pay a lot more to contractors by law. So there you go.
Any questions?
Yeah, I have some questions. The last line is this: approval of the gray water project will authorize and direct the pursuit of grant funds for the project, which will support development of potential community gardens and a tolerant demonstration garden. Is that sort of the end of this, the big thing that's visible and so on?
The big thing that's visible, you mean as far as it being a gray water versus just a connection to the sewer?
When you start having gardens and things like that, that's a visible thing.
Yes.
Right, it is. You know, it's really, in reality, it's more of a vision at this point, but we've got to take the first step. So it's a vision towards something bigger. It's can be a role model in the community. Eventually, it can be something that people can see as for future phases of the project as not more expensive and really quite a benefit to the community, I think. Right. So,
and I'd add a sentence and make it as visible as possible, and the firemen can dress up in costumes or whatever they want to do.
This is for questions, not comments.
Yeah.
Not.
That's why I put something in there about healthy firefighters, you know.
I thought that was kind of funny. Okay. Any more questions? Okay, we'll go to public comment then on this item. Thank you.
We still have to go in and close, remember.
Julie Tacker, and we have a building sinking fund, and we allocated some money for this some years ago, maybe not this amount, but I think that's where it goes. I don't know why we're doing this now. You could put it in the budget. The budget's going to be here in June. We're going to adopt a budget next month. So that part I don't get. And you would have a budget adjustment in front of you to do this if you wanted to spend the money now. I don't know where the 3,000-gallon tank came from, that number. We had investigated that septic system with the, what was that device?
Piranha.
The Piranha, thank you.
Right.
So we, I don't think it's 3,000 or anywhere.
It's 1,500. I confirmed it today.
Okay, yeah. So you know, we're talking about a different animal. And it didn't go to the Emergency Services Committee. That's what we're for. Maybe it will in the future. But I can tell you to have a cistern for irrigation when you're not irrigating now doesn't save water. It's just putting the water to some other purpose. The water that runs off that building now percolates into the ground. That's all it does. That's really all it probably should do in the future. As far as the demonstration gardens, this is a public facility. You don't invite the public to be wandering around the fire department. They've got heavy equipment. They've got emergency needs. They can have to immediately roll and leave people on site. The logistics don't make sense to me. With the hillside and the driveway that's always sloughing off and needing repair, where's this garden going to go? It simply doesn't make a lot of sense. If you have to hook up to the sewer anyway, put it in next year's budget, which is just a couple months away, and the community garden idea, save it for another property. This isn't the one.
Thank you.
Lindy, first off, gray water is basically collecting water from your home tub and sink to put into a tank for reuse. So terminology is just one of those things that we probably should get adapted to. This would be repurposing and using it as a water cistern. I kind of agree that there isn't a really great space for the gardening, and possibly what might make more sense is the hill that's behind and goes down to Sunnyside could possibly be terraced, and some stuff to help keep the erosion on could be there. And then that water could be dispersed down to Sunnyside to be used for their, it's our aquifer we're trying to save. So whether they stop pumping water to put on Sunnyside, or I know they'll be using some of the recycled water, but it could be an addition because it can all be gravity fed downhill. So I might make that suggestion rather than investing the money for the pump to pump it up and try to use it up above. I think we need to repurpose every septic tank we can in town because there's going to be other options besides rain. And gray water is a great idea. There's showers that all these guys use, and if they're willing to use the right products, all that water that they shower with can all go down into that tank. I think the building is set up so that could work. So, anyway, that's all.
Let me just address the gray water issue, because that's when they did the California Plumbing Code updates, the gray water statutes addressed both rainwater and the plumbing discharge from your home. So the two chapters of the California Plumbing Code are related. They call gray water interchangeably GRAY and GREY water as both of those sources. Rainwater is under the gray water statute, but there is an opportunity to put that shower water, if there is, to use, but that's a much more expensive ordeal. But right now, certainly the rainwater and the cistern idea would be the first step.
Thank you. With that, I'll close public comment. So we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. I think, let me just say one thing. I think the rationale behind this and why it's on the agenda now is it would be help educate the public as to the repurposing and just get the exposure out there so it's an example of repurposing, so we can get exposure to the public now when it still has time to do the repurposing. So
the way I look at it is, if when we were doing water rates and doing conservation, if we just wanted to make as much money as possible, we wouldn't do conservation things. That's when we promoted conservation, that's in effect putting us out of business, which is why the other side of town doesn't have the same, you know, the same incentives. And so, yeah, there's going to be times where we're gonna have to like do a little bit of leadership on issues like this. And hopefully, if we show that this is something you can do and it's something that people respond to, and in time for them to know they can do it, three or four people on my block are already sending, as I heard it's been called. So, sending their sewage. Yeah. It's a nice little euphemism.
Okay. Let's not get off task here. We still have to go back in a closed session, remember?
I support this.
Any other discussion?
No, I agree. I support it also. I think that, especially if, I mean, one idea too is if when they do the hookup and the lateral, if it be good for the public to see it, if you could, like, again, tape it, put it on channel 20, and encourage the repurposing of the septic tanks again, just another way of doing that. And I think maybe, since Chuck is ahead of ESAC, maybe he should be out there helping. I'll volunteer to help too.
Sure. It'll give me practice for digging my own.
Funny. All right, so can I have a motion here, please?
Do we need to pick an option? There's four options on the back.
Sorry, I gave you options, and that was the one thing I shouldn't have done at the end of the meeting was worry about options.
Because we've got a motion.
You know, really, I just made a recommendation about a simple motion just to get the project moving forward and to direct the actual tank repurposing initially. The additional add-in motion language there is just there for conceptual approval of my time and others' time moving forward a project to where we can look more into where is it going, where would it be best, what kind of money, where the grant money is. And it sounds like we're in favor of it all. It's just got to work. The numbers have got to work out right. The first thing to do is to be the leader and get the project done. Right, that's get the lateral in and say we're repurposing it.
Do we have a hookup date?
No, it's not out the bid yet. Oh, we're in phase one. So
phase one.
Yeah.
So the motion that's in the staff note, is that correspond to number one or?
There's a fill in.
There's a fill in. Oh, I see.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, option. No, those are just, honestly, those options are just the cost options at this point. I'm just giving you numbers so that I'm not looking for that far yet.
Okay.
All I'm looking for is a motion to either just lateral and repurpose the tank, or lateral repurpose the tank and work more on the gray water project.
Okay.
Well, but that does fall into your options.
Okay.
I think John Eric has it, right?
With the understanding, what I'm trying to do is just get this started without going whole hog.
Yeah.
I'll say I move that the board approve the Station 15 South Bay Graywater System installation project to including a funding appropriation in the amount not to exceed $9,000 in the 2015-16 fiscal year budget to fund connection to the new sewer and repurposing of the septic tanks for use as graywater holding tanks. I further move to provide conceptual approval for the graywater pumping control and irrigation system subject to final project budget and funding plan approval by the board.
Thank you.
Of the graywater project will authorize and direct the pursuit of grant funds for the project, which will support development of potential community gardens and a drought-tolerant demonstration garden.
Very good. I second.
Moved by Storm, second by Wright. Any further discussion? Or I think you beat this one to death. Can we have a vote, please?
Vice President Storm.
Yes.
Excuse me. Director Wright.
Yes.
Director Sesania.
Yes.
Director Tarnowski.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so do we have any future agenda items?
Well, again, at some point in the near future, since we're doing policy changes, the personnel policy should come back to us. I don't know what the time frame on that might be.
Okay.
It's in my review.
Okay, very good. And then again, because of the timing of we're starting the hookup season, we need to take a look at the water contract with the schools on the county water and our contract and how we're getting screwed. And so.
Say that one more time.
No, he won't say that one more.
I'm not going to pay you
for it after the meeting.
It's late. It's late.
What's happening to us?
No, that's okay. Very unprofessional. Right. I'm sorry. Any other future agenda items? So, do we have any closing comments before we go back to closed? Chuck?
Basin Management Committee, what, third Wednesday? Is
the
that next?
20th.
20th. 1:30.
Yes, here.
Repurpose those septic tanks. At least clean them and close them, and save that option for later.
I have one reminder that next week, April 11th through the 15th, is cleanup week. If you have any extra items, put them out with your normal trash. It looks like it might be a little late for the large, bulky items because you're supposed to call a week ahead of time. But you can put up to 12 standard trash can size or equivalent bags, boxes, or bundles. That's next week.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank everybody for their attention, and we will go ahead and adjourn back to closed session.